to the fore. But as Jesus would say, have you simply tried being less of a c***?
Will someone remove this woman?
Get off me, you f***! Stupid pointy hat! A wee dick! Dressed in frocks, huge rocks, gangster drag queens defending their patch from holy snack!
Oh,
holy alcohol, the Mary subjugated to a walk on roll!
But she's wearing crotchless leggings!
A tasket! Now they've buried the casket of equality in the holy ground! That's to get a plain soggy biscuit! But what a biscuit! Body of Christ! Playing host to a ring of bishops! Bashing many bishops!
Somebody shut this all about!
Get off me! Take that!
Fighting on the bishops!
Welcome back to Kiss My Zeitgeist, a hard-hitting examination of new artistic phenomena tearing up the cultural landscape with me, Dean Arnold Fortescue. We've just been listening to the live recording of the riot at last year's Christmas ecclesiastical luncheon. I say riot, but it was, of course, just one woman causing an almighty uproar. It's a woman we're delighted to be interviewing today on Kiss My Zeitgeist, so I hope you'll join me in welcoming to the programme.
These pretzels are really, they're really drying my mouth out.
Are they really?
Someone bring me a cup of tea, please.
Right, I'm sure one
of
our...
Is that person over there doing anything? Maybe they could...
I'm sure one of our team will be more than happy to bring you a drink, so...
Thanks, my mouth is incredibly dry.
I'm sure it is, yes.
Barely speak.
Yeah, you can... Well, we do like our guests to speak, so I'm sure someone will will see to your needs immediately. So I suppose it's quite appropriate that you're enthusiastically masticating after that recording, wouldn't you say?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you talked about soggy biscuits, of course, in the...
Is this a masturbation reference?
Well, yes. Yes, the soggy biscuits, mm-hmm. Of course, is a...
Yeah. Please don't trivialise my work.
No, of course not. I wouldn't dream of it. So let's talk about your work, which, of course, is rooted in the poetical arena. And it's very obvious to me, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it's far more than simply just pretty words on paper for you, isn't it? Your work definitely engages with and indeed directly challenges the world, as we just heard exemplified when you gate-crashed the, the bish-bash. To object against the ruling that women bishops
wouldn't...
Hang
on, I'm sorry, what was that? What's a bish?
The bish bash.
What's that then?
Well, the bish bash is the Christmas bash held for the bishops, hence the bish bash.
The bish bash.
Yeah. In fact, did you know that the definition of the word bosh is empty or meaningless talk or opinion? So, in many ways, it was a bish bash bosh. So I've spent some time in Edinburgh and other areas of Scotland, but actually your accent's quite difficult to place. Where exactly in Scotland are you from?
Oh, all over Scotland and parts of Pakistan.
Right. Oh, that's very interesting. So, as I said before, your poetry directly challenges the world, presumably with the intention of at least being the catalyst that changes the world. So, can you tell me, as a poet, how do you feel poetry has the potential to change the world?
It doesn't.
Oh, right.
No.
It doesn't? You don't think it does at all?
No.
Okay. Can you sort of develop that a bit? Can you expand on that any?
I can, Dean. I don't know if you've noticed, but most people tend to go through life with all the awareness of a cow destined for a flaccid burger. So expecting these bovine bedwetters to appreciate the power of poetry is, frankly, ridiculous.
Mm.
Sometimes I believe it's enough to just shout the poetry in their stupid faces and hope that the shock shortens their lifespans. Which, in a way, is what happened at the... What did you call it? Bish?
The Bish Bash.
Bish Bash, bloody hell.
Joke.
At the Bish Bash, but yes, because I saw a couple of bishops turning quite an encouraging shade of purple.
Did you really?
Yes.
Did you really?
I think they probably later died.
Well, that's uncompromising indeed, which does lead me on quite nicely to a recent review of your work where you were described not only as unlikable, but also accused of sexualizing potatoes.
Oh, for God's sake, I know the review you're talking about. It's stupid reviewers don't know their ass from their elbow, quite frankly. The one you're referring to, the review you're referring to, talked about my poem Potato, which is a very nuanced exploration of sexual identity.
Right.
And potatoes.
Right, yes.
And the reviewer bypassed all that and went straight for the naughty words. That's right, because he's just a stupid little schoolboy.
Right, well, we've actually got a recording of Potato right here, so perhaps we'll let the listeners at home really appreciate the depth and the subtleties of the piece for themselves. So here we go. This is Potato.
Potato. Potato. A word that rhymes with fellatio. Sort of. But universally speaking, lips get to grips with saucy chips. Often with penis. Potatoes are very popular. Fellatio, a little less so. Oh, jealous penis, do not fight the tumescent tuber. You will not win. The potato is a deadly foe. The penis wears a hoodie, but the spud wears a badass jacket. Dick and chips. Dick and chips. Not a meal I feel comfortable eating. Say about me and my gastronomic sexuality. I don't know. Oh, potato! How often we embrace a coupling often born of lager and shame, and yet upon waking, I can remember your name. It is Edward. A royal Edward. A fried and fat aristocrat. A napkin wipes away the residue, but these damned fries leave their lecherous mark upon my thighs. The girth of the working class ass is the mark of the potato. Oh, potato! Potato. Potato. I say potato, you say nothing. Because you're just a potato.
Go. Pretty intense stuff. I'm sure you'll agree that was Potato. But poetry wasn't actually how you started your creative journey, was it?
What are you talking about? Yes, it was.
Oh, right. Well, we've actually uncovered a recording that suggests that you actually started off as a singer.
I think I've been a poet my entire life, Dean. I think I would know, because my very first word, even as a child, was mama. Yeah.
I'm not sure I follow. I think that's every child's first word, isn't it? Usually?
No. Mama.
Mama.
That's no, mama, not mama.
Mama.
Say it again.
Mama.
Say it again.
Mama.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what it.
Well,
it's a Middle English word that means mame artist. Mama.
Oh.
Mama.
Right. Yes, I see.
An artist who does not speak, so I think, obviously, I mean, it's infant me was just trying to make an ironic quip about my intentions regarding poetry.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course, yeah. Yes. Mm.
And of course, my second word of the very same day, in fact, was dada.
Dada.
No. Dada.
Dada.
No.
Dada.
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 No, dada. Dada. Not dada.
As in da, am I saying it right?
As in the art movement of the European avant-garde in the early 20th century.
Dada.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Because, you know, of course, it was founded by a group of artists and poets associated with the Cabaret Voltaire.
Of course.
So
yes.
Obviously by saying dada so soon after saying mama, I was clarifying my ambitions regarding poetry in case the irony of mama had confused my intellectually inferior audience, a bit
right.
Like you.
Yes, right.
So my audience at the time were obviously mummy and daddy.
So are you absolutely sure that you weren't just saying mummy and mama?
My third
and
fourth words were baked bean. Yeah. I don't know what I was trying to convey.
Right, yeah.
But as you can see, I always had a facility and an affinity with words.
Oh, absolutely. But as I was trying to say before, our research has uncovered that initially you did in fact launch yourself into the public eye as a singer in a country and western duo, no less.
Oh, hang on a minute. I don't think that's got any relevance.
Well, I don't know. I think we should play this rather intriguing recording.
I think we shouldn't, actually. I really think that's not relevant to this programme.
Well, I do believe that it does show the earliest form that your poetry took, and I understand you co-wrote the lyrics with your singing partner, Bombadiah Owen. I'm sure we'd all like to know more about him. He features quite prominently in this recording. But first of all, I'd like to introduce the obscure and exclusive 2002 recording of Wagon Willie's Big
Don't
Old
do
Bessie.
This. If you play this, I will push your head so far into your back.
Or chores to worry me, there came a knocking at the old front door. With that, a screech from just outside, a hellish scream from which to hide, was big old Bessie Brown, that thieving whore. I knew old Bessie'd never rest until she had me at her breast, and that sure as hell a frightening place to be.
Woo-hoo! Coo-wee! She cried. I got a boy, I got him a vibrating toy, so let me in, I'll bet you on my knee.
Now plenty men that fall and pray to her, mischievous ways, and precious few had lived to tell the tale.
Lick me in, my sweet, my love, and away you like a glove. Your sweet, sweet eyes, I swear, I've never nailed.
I called out to the wanton she, you know that don't appeal to me, and bolted for the window round the back.
Oh, yeah.
I scrambled out into the yard, I puffed, I wheezed, I panted hard, but there she was in nothing but her mag. There were no use in running now, she got me cornered anyhow, but then an ocean popped into my head. I knew what scared old Bessie Brown, I'd flip her scheming upside down, and venture that the two of us be wed. Now I knew Bessie's whoring ways, she'd never quit her whoring days, to settle down a wholesome little wife. Come on, Bessie, let's get to it, you're the kidney, I'm the suet, I've wanted such a lady all my life. Now Bessie, she looked quizzical, but started getting physical, and I braced myself to bear her massive load. She bent me over, slapped my bum, she kissed it twice, popped in her thumb, inside a passersby along the road. 3 hours we spent it tussling, the undergrowth a rustling, until at last she heaved herself aside.
Well now, darling, that was swell. You scratched my itch, you rang my bell, and it sure is mighty sweet to see you cry.
When she reached down for her money can, I said, Bessie, I'm a changing man, I reckon you to be my bride-to-be. Well now, Bessie, she looked amazed, first time this wench had ever been faced.
Are you just trying to not pay your fee?
Said, I know, miss, I'm talking plain, I swear I'll never love again if you don't say you'll marry me today. Bessie stared, her mouth agape, this girl who lit to rob and rape, and to my horror she cried,
I won't say nay.
So folks, beware of the things you say, for things can quickly go astray, and you'll find yourself like me, a sorry clown. It's 20 years since we were wed, since then we've never left my bed. I've never known such awful pain, a town I'll ever walk again. I've given all that I can give, and now I just don't wanna live. She's hitching up with big old Bessie Brown.
Well now, there you have it. That was Big Old Bessie, originally by Wagon Willie, performed there by our guest today with Bombadiah Owen. What a delightful name that is. Very difficult to get out. That was quite a revelation, actually. Very, very unlike your current work. What happened?
Are you finished?
Well, I suppose, yes.
Right. Let's move on.
So, well, okay. Well, why don't we move on and you can talk to me a little bit about Bombadiah.
What are you saying?
Romantically...
Oh, right. So it's come to this. No, Bombadiah was the grandson of my lover at the time, if you must know.
The grandson,
don't
right?
Don't see why it's any of your business.
So you were dating Bombadiah's grandmother?
Grandmother? His grandfather?
Oh, really? Not the grandmother. I think I just sort of... I had assumed... You were, I think, possibly because of the monobrow, is that...
Isn't that a little homophobic? For a liberal lefty culture show.
No, not at all. Not homophobic. I was...
What, just assuming?
Well, you know, I was just thinking heterosexuality and hair removal... Well, it's normative, isn't it? And as a crosser of boundaries in your work, you might have felt compelled to choose a lifestyle.
Choose? No.
I'm not implying it's a choice at all.
I think that is what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that you might feel that you have to make a statement
with
of some sort.
With my sexuality.
Well, you know, the personal is the political, and that, you know, I mean, not that. Even that would be a statement, really, these days. It's barely worth
right.
mentioning, I suppose.
Oh, I see. Mm. Yeah. Well, I think, Dean, mm-hmm. I think you'll find I'm in fact gender blind when it comes to sexual relations.
Right, I see, yes.
And that has nothing to do with me being a poet and having a monobrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like it. I think it's a very, very striking look, yes.
Thanks.
So tell me about Bombadil's grandfather, then.
All right then, fine. His name was Jeb. He played the electric washboard in a local folk band. Oh, Jeb. Jeb! Jeb! Jebediah Synthesizer, playing your electro-folk at the Slapping Toad. I watch with ale in hand, grinding against my stool seat, fisting crisps through wet lips. Beneath the cheesecloth of my desire, you could hang a flat cap off my rock-hard nips.
Wow. Did you just make that up, as in right on the spot?
No.
Oh. Well, it sounded as if... well, I mean, I thought it might have been spontaneous. I mean, really incredible if it was.
It wasn't.
Right. Well, that's a shame.
Yes.
Well, it sounds to me like that's got us in the mood for another poem. Why don't we have this one? This was recorded at the Slam at the Clam a few years ago, more recently. So this is called the P.E. Pain Calypso.
Right, hello. Nice to be here. Hang on, can we do something about that music? Where's that coming from?
Yeah, sorry about that. It's coming from next door.
Well, that's going to slightly ruin what I'm about to do.
Yeah. Well, I can close the door. That might help.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Yeah, is that any better?
Well, that's going to have to do, isn't it?
Yeah,
okay. All right, okay, here we go. This first poem, this is called P.E. Pain Calypso. School sports made a liar of me and my ovaries. Week after week, no Miss Nursing, no, I will not swim today, for I bleed. A lie I used on a weekly basis, my fallopian action was fiction, not fact-tion. Manly Miss Nursing, were you not quizzical, how my physical was shooting out ovum like a jammed paintball gun? Are you sure you're getting this right with that music? Is the music not completely ruining everything I'm saying? Lacrosse. A French Jesus carrying lacrosse. No! A game played with baskets on sticks. A game played by angry Amazons in their Hulk-like hormonal rage wage war with their stick like a substitute prick. At my all-girls school. That's right. All girls. All good little girls. In their twee little school. No! More like caged baboons flinging their shit. Picking nets from ponytails, bearing red bottoms at boys' school buses. Lacrosse, where virgin viragos fought to reach fuzzy balls, skirted muscles strained to slam balls, stretch and flex to get balls, exerted hymens popped like the seal on a fresh tube of an oblong crisp packet that rings with shingles. It's actually Pringles, but I think there's copyright issues. I don't want to get into trouble. So, okay. P.E. I am grown now, but so are you. Grown huge and slick with sponsorship, thrust into the home of the cockanees. Oh, Olympics. Gym knickers by Stella McCartney. School Britannia. Sports day, hooray. If you want me, I'll be behind the Boris bike shed, smoking an electronic cigarette.
thanks. Yeah.
Right, so that was P.E. Pain Calypso. Let's move quickly on from that. You mentioned that you smoke electronic cigarettes, right?
Yeah, normally only after making love, of course, to my electronic penis.
Right.
And that's why I'm smoking one right now.
Yeah, well, I did notice that. I hope the buzzing didn't pick up too much for the listeners at home.
The joys of radio.
Yeah, it's really quite horrible. So please, could you tell us what's next for you?
Oh, well, actually, my own radio show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right. Hosting my own culture programme, actually. I'm in talks.
Ah, so this would be a poetry show, would it?
Well, yes, but on top of that, I'd be interviewing other emerging cultural icons. Yeah, it's a new angle, because the people I'm in talks with, they're very excited that I'm not only an interviewer. I'm also a creator of art, so in that way I've got more right to ask these questions, I've got more insight, I've got more authenticity. I'm not just like some kind of parasite squatting on artists, waving my media studies degree around. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's possibly a slightly questionable point. Do you mind if I ask who exactly are you in talks with?
It's a bit hush-hush.
Is it really?
But I'll tell you, it's this radio station.
It's this radio station, is it?
Yes.
Right.
Sorry.
Really?
Sorry about that.
Well, do you know what? It's been absolutely lovely having you here. Do you know what? I was going to end on another of your, well, frankly, hysterical poems, but I tell you what.
What does that mean?
I quite fancy hearing Big Old Bessie again, don't you?
Oh, come on, Dean.
One more time.
We don't have to hear that again.
Yes, we do.
Why are you putting it on?
Playing
is
us
this
out.
Sour grapes?
Here we go. It's not
is
sour
this
grapes.
It's because you're angry, isn't it? You
not angry. I just love this song.
Just
so here we go. This is Old
not...
Dog Ruff, Yeehaw.
I don't blame your employer's warning to replace you.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, right. So it's like that. Who gives a fuck?
You?
Well,
yeah,
who
are you?
Who are you?
Honestly,
who are you?
I have
who
never heard
you?
Of you.
Why would I be interested in hearing about you?
I've never heard of
people
you in my
interested
life.
In me.
I have never heard of you. Who? I
but
don't know.
Maybe that's because you don't have your finger
you
on the zeitgeist,
show,
and maybe that's why you're being on a place.
That's absolutely
because
rubbish.
You know nothing.
Rubbish.
Nothing.
Total rubbish.
Hello! So here we are in my mummy's living room.
Hi.
I am, my name is Gwenda and that's
Bernard.
Yeah, and I think we should do like, let's pretend this is a radio show.
Oh, okay.
That'd be really funny. So you interview me.
Oh, but why don't you interview me?
Because you're not very interesting, Bernard. You never say anything interesting.
No, but I do, though.
Well, you don't, do you?
I
you
do.
Look, you're younger than me anyway. You're 6 months younger, so you don't have it, you know. So I've got better things
not
to
fair.
Say. So I think, what should I be? If you're interviewing me, I think
fair.
That I should be, like, a famous poet because I've been writing lots of poetry.
Yeah, but it's a bit rubbish, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. Why don't you shut up? What have you ever done? Nothing. God, you're so rubbish. Shut up, Bernard. Your parents are getting divorced anyway.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? That's because...
I don't want to talk about it.
What's going to happen? Are you going to stay with your mum?
I don't want to talk about it.
Is your dad going off with that woman down the street?
No, shut up.
Because I saw them together the other day.
Shut up.
It's really gross. She was wearing a really short skirt and she's ancient. She's like...
Don't
she's like 28 or something.
Don't talk
disgusting.
About it.
Right, okay, so go on then, start interviewing me. So pretend it's a radio show.
Hello, my name's Bernard, and this is Radio Bernard. And we've got a guest on today. She writes poems and things, and
you're not doing it right.
But what am I supposed to do?
Just make it better. Or just hurry up and ask me a question.
If you could be any kind of sandwich, like what kind of sandwich would you be?
So I would be maybe I'd be like a quaver sandwich, cause
what?
You know quavers, the cheesy crisps.
Oh, yeah.
Cause they're really nice
right.
And they're really light and I'm really not very heavy.
Right.
I know.
No, but you're like a bit fat though.
It's puppy fat, Bernard. No. Apparently it doesn't even count, so shut up. God. Right, this is rubbish. Maybe I should just read... Shall I read my poem?
Alright.
Okay, great. This is called I Feel Pain because, you know, it's really hard being me.
It's a bit boring though, isn't it?
What? No, oh, shut up, Bernard.
Get on with it.
You know,
get on with it.
Your dad's dating a whore.
Yeah,
right, so this is called So Much Pain. Right. So much pain, like a blunt knife would cause, or how it must have felt to fight in the world wars, or how a girl might feel whose dad plays Michael Jackson's album Bad and repeating pics from school dressed in red leather with a gardening glove on one hand. God, I wish I was dead. What's his problem? I'm definitely adopted. Mr. Claymore gave me the hairy eyeball over a Bunsen burner this morning. He did, you know, Mr. Claymore.
Really?
Potassium nitrate wasn't the only thing burning. No, his loins were also yearning, burning, sperming. Yeah, what do you think of that, Bernard?
What's that?
Oh, you're too young. You're like 6 months younger than me. I'm not going to explain. Wait till you grow up and then you'll know. Maybe. Disgusting. Anyway, Maya Mulhoon says he's not looking at me, that his eye is lazy, but Maya's not an optometrist. So what does she know? Nothing, plus she smells a TCP, she puts it on her acne. Doesn't she, Maya? She's gross.
Yes, well, gross.
Like a cat, she actually really stinks to her, so when she tells she uses deodorant, because yeah, she's clearly, right, like, started to, like,
yes,
like a character in a Russian play, I will go away from this shite hole one day. Apart from the characters in that Russian play, we did never actually go anywhere. They just whine about it all the time and look out the windows, and then someone shoots themselves at the end of the play, which is totally what I'll do if I have to stay here much longer. Yeah, this place is shite.
I couldn't read it.
Well, no. Neither did I. They should do a film on it or something.
Oh, yeah, I
don't think
I
anyone does,
that.
Really.
That'd be right.
I did no work at all, and I, like, totally got an A in my last exam, even though I do no work, and I didn't do any preparation at all.
Oh, you copy.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to do so badly at this, and then I got an A.
You copy.
Anyway, I must go now, turn my hand from the quill to the plier to do a reading comprehension on sheep enclosures of the 16th century. Oh, so boring. I intend to subvert it, to pervert it, to suggest it is we who are the sheep enclosed in the school system. I will write that school is full of fools, shaping us into memory mules, rather than equipping me with the tools that need to rule these sheep, and I will wear their wool one day instead of the shitty regulation school jumper, which is gross, makes me look like I got no tits at all, and I totally have, because I'm like almost 13. Pain, pain, treatment! Treatment! Take an ibuprofen and get the shit out of there. Yeah. Pretty good, eh?
I don't really get it.
That's because you're thick. God, it's really bad having to hang out with you. Why does your mom always say, tell you to come over here? I know why. It's because they need to argue while you get you out of the way. Well, it is, isn't it? You can hear them from here. Like, we were trying to watch TV the other day, and all you could hear was them going, you can have him. No, you can have him. Oh, God. Anyway, what should we do now?
Ride a chopper.
Oh, you're such a boy. I don't want to do that. Can I dress you up in my clothes?
Okay, then.
You like it, don't you?
Yeah.
Good. Right, okay. Turn it off, then.
Alright. How do you turn it off?
I think it's that button there.
Okay. Is that it? Yeah, yeah. That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.